This week, we're hearing from some of the unheard voices in the alarm over the opiate epidemic.
A chronic pain patient who said she never raised her dose of medication in 12 years, but now her doctors have cut them because of concerns about addiction and overdoses, and she can barely function.
We heard from a doctor who believes pain medication for people like that woman is not the problem. He says that pain patients are undertreated, and a big clue that somebody is not becoming addicted is that they don't raise their dose.
Well, you can hear the stories and read the comments at hearandnow.org. There's also a conversation at our Facebook page. Nancy Anderson Gibson wrote, "I've been on pain pills for years. I even take smaller doses on days that aren't as bad. I do not take it to get high. I take it to be able to get out of bed and function." Doreen Pasikoff said, "We who need the medications and use them responsibly should not have to suffer. And it is asking us to suffer because other people can't be trusted with them."
And many people wrote in to ask why medical marijuana is rarely part of the debate over pain medication. We're going to take up that issue today. We recently invited two U.S. military veterans to our studio.
My name is Scott Murphy. I served about 4 years in the Army at Fort Stewart, Georgia, and I served 15 months in Iraq in 2007.
My name is Kenneth McIntosh. I was in the Navy. I served as a combat medic. I was in Afghanistan from 2010 to 2011. My unit's mission was to find IEDs.
Murphy and McIntosh both left military service with severe injuries, and to help ease the pain, they both now use medical marijuana. Murphy uses it for chronic pain that started with a serious motorcycle accident when he was 18. It broke his femur in half and shattered his hip.
Because of the injuries, when I got older, I would have gotten arthritis, but because of the strenuous work that I did in the military and rock marches and heavy lifting and stuff, it just progressed the disease.
And McIntosh uses it for post-traumatic stress disorder.
I was diagnosed with it when I came home from Afghanistan. Symptoms include trouble sleeping, anxiety.
Neither man can get their doctors at the Department of Veterans Affairs to consider treating them with medical marijuana, even though they get all their other medical services there. According to a federal directive, providers at the VA are prohibited from recommending medical cannabis to their patients. They can't even render an opinion about it. Not in Massachusetts, where Scott Murphy and Kenneth McIntosh live, nor in any of the 22 other states where its medical use is legal. That's because it is still illegal under federal law. That federal directive actually expired last month, so VA doctors are now left in limbo. Last month, a bipartisan group of members of Congress asked the VA to give doctors the latitude to recommend medical marijuana. There's been no response yet from the VA, and that means that Murphy and other veterans have to rely on outside private clinics.
So I have to take all my records from the VA, bring all my records to this other doctor, and then that doctor will authorize me to use medical marijuana through the state. And then I get my medical marijuana from one of the four dispensaries that are presently open.
And Kenny?
I get it from people that grow it, and I don't get it from the same avenue.
You get it privately?
Privately. I actually have had a medical marijuana card in the past, which allowed me to use marijuana legally. However, the cost for that card is somewhat substantial. It can be up to $300 a year to reaffirm that certificate, so I haven't been able to redo it.
So you're not getting the proper certification from the state because of the cost of seeing an outside doctor?
Correct, because the outside doctors at this point, it's a business, and you go and it costs you several hundred dollars a year to have this one appointment of 30 minutes, and to be honest, I just can't afford that as a student.
And how does it help you?
So it helps me because it allows me not to take an opiate-based drug. It allows me to use a medication that actually works. When I was on Tramadol, which recently got classified under the Controlled Substance Act, it was never enough. My dosage kept going up until I ended up being prescribed Vicodin, and I was also prescribed a secondary drug for sleeping. Medical marijuana allows me to use one drug and not have to worry about going down the path of opiate addiction.
Opiate addiction, which is what we hear so much about from people who are taking legally prescribed drugs. And by the way, what you're talking about goes by the nickname of combat cocktail, right?
Combat cocktails are more for people with PTSD.
For me specifically, I have probably 10 medications that I'm prescribed.
Right now?
Right now.
And do they help?
Some of them do help, but then it's almost like a juggling effect because you have to take something to sleep. And then during the day, the next day, there's residual effects of sedation. So then they actually try to prescribe you something to keep you awake.
Like what?
Ritalin, for example, would be something that they would try to prescribe.
And what are some of the other drugs they've given you?
Medications for anxiety, medications for depression. The cocktail was so debilitating that, you know, my GPA at school was being affected, my ability to go to school was being affected from the sedation. But with marijuana, it actually helps during the day to focus. And then at night, if you use a marijuana with more THC, it'll actually help you sleep. And there's no real negative interaction there.
And when you use the marijuana, the medical cannabis, are you able to not use any of the other drugs?
Correct.
So you're taking medical marijuana now. You're not able to talk to your doctor at the VA about it.
Correct.
Because of this directive, which is now expired. What kind of a problem does that present for you?
It causes a lot of problems. The first one is you lose trust in your doctor. This is supposed to be the go-to person for veterans. Because of this directive or lack of direction from the government, I'm forced to see another doctor that I don't have the same relationship with just for them to agree with my first doctor that I have these symptoms.
And it's not as if the doctors are saying, we don't want you to take this. They're staying away from it because they can't, because the VA says you cannot make a recommendation. So does that mean you don't even talk to them about it?
I have talked to my doctor about it because I really wanted to understand where he was on it. I wanted him to be aware that I was coming off of these other medications because they weren't working for me. And I wanted him to understand that medical marijuana for me was a better alternative. He basically says without direction, there's not much he can do. He doesn't have the education, and he really has just no guidance.
And how about your doctor, Kenny?
My doctor, I've had several. I've switched recently, and the current doctor I have hasn't really been open to talking about it. I've told him that I do use medical marijuana in lieu of the prescriptions he's prescribed, but he always emphasizes on taking the medications.
Well, you have some friends in Congress. There's a bipartisan group of about 23 members of Congress. This includes Senator Elizabeth Warren, who wrote to the VA urging it to allow veterans to access medical marijuana through their VA providers. Let me quote from part of the letter here. It says, this policy disincentivizes doctors and patients from being honest with each other, and it's not in the veteran's best interest for the VA to interfere with the doctor-patient relationship. Do you feel like it's interfered with your relationship with your VA doctor, and to what end?
No, absolutely. I mean, you can't have an open dialogue. There's still a level
What if you try to? What happens?
If you try to, often they won't recognize that it's useful for you.
But to what extent should doctors be concerned, and should you be concerned as VA patients, that by providing for a patient like you guys what is a relatively quick and apparently effective relief from pain or the symptoms of PTSD that medical marijuana can offer, you might not be dealing with the overall issue of either PTSD or long-term pain.
You still want to see, you know, in Kenny's case, he still sees a therapist. Nobody's saying to use medical marijuana on its own. You still should use it in conjunction with some of these other therapies. The question is, should I be able to use medical marijuana with these other therapies, or should I have to use some of these other dangerous drugs first?
I think it'd be better to be able to be open and have that a part of my treatment plan as opposed to having an alternative treatment plan and trying to balance both of them at the same time.
Final question. Why are you speaking out about this?
I started speaking out of this shortly after the initiative passed. My best friend killed himself with PTSD. Losing my best friend is something that really touched me emotionally, and I just believe that all veterans should have an option to do good health care.
I lost a friend to suicide from drug overdose several years back. He was being prescribed a gamut of medications from the VA, and about a year after he came back from Afghanistan, he had died of a drug overdose suicide. And I just feel that if he had been given marijuana, that could have eased a lot of his pain.
Kenny McIntosh and Scott Murphy, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Scott Murphy is now working on his law degree at Massachusetts School of Law. Kenny McIntosh is studying psychology at UMass Boston. The VA did not respond to our requests for comment on the policy around prescribing medical marijuana.